This is a topical message, so we're going to be looking at several verses tonight. Not a text before we look at the message tonight, but certainly I want us to think about the power of God's love. What can God's love do for us? And how does that work in our lives? Certainly it is very important for us to know that. And so before we begin, let's pray tonight. Father, I pray that you might help us tonight to see all that you want us to see through your love for us and what it can do in and through us as we put our faith in your great love. Father, we thank you that you loved us when we were unlovely. We thank you that not only do you love us when we were unlovely, but you love us as your children tonight as well. Father, we thank you that we can say that we are safe in the arms of Jesus. And so, Lord, I pray that you might bless your word and the passages that we will look at tonight, that you would be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. What comes to your mind when we think about God is the most important thing about us? Were we able to extract from any man a complete answer to the question, what comes into your mind when you think about God? This is from A.W. Tozer. He says, we might predict with certainty the spiritual future of that man. The man who comes to a right belief about God is relieved of 10,000 problems. If we just have our faith in who God is, we can have a lot of our problems solved. And we can see God at work in our lives, in his power. He went on to say, for he sees at once these things have to do with matters which at most cannot concern him for very long. Isn't that great? Folks, all the troubles, all the trials that we go through in this life are not going to last forever. And this is just a brief time. It's as a vapor that we're going through now. The more time you spend in God's word, the more assurance that you will have that God loves you. Now, I think most of the crowd that is here, there's some that weren't here perhaps for some of these things, but we went through a whole series of lessons on Quieting a Noisy Soul by Jim Berg. Now, I want to test your memory now tonight. We stop at where problems begin, and where do problems begin? At the top of that diamond. Remember, there's a diamond, you got a little bit of outfield too, and you come back down. And what's the first problem that we get into that causes all the other problems? It's called what? Unbelief. Okay? And what comes out of unbelief, first of all, if we get down to second base here now, what is coming out of unbelief? Discontentment. Oh, I'll tell you what. Can we be content in the love of God tonight? Can we trust that he loves us tonight? Okay? Now, let's take it and let's go to first and third base now, okay? First and third base. On the one side is what? Anger. On the other side? Anxiety. When we know the love of God, can we be angry? When we know the love of God, can we be anxious when we have one who loves us so much that he is everything as our creator and our redeemer? And then, home plate, the one that's really at the bottom, when you've reached the bottom of life, we call that what?
Despair.
Okay. I think there was somebody who wrote a book about that and said, or had a character in their book that said to despair is to be without God. Folks, may we never forget that he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's true love. Certainly, Jim Berg also goes on and he says, believers who do not know well the love of God ask the following questions. So this is just, you know, did you hear Pastor Overforce the other night at the banquet when he said, this is a thermometer. When you know how close you are to God is when what? Your relationships with others, huh? But then Jim Berg says these questions. He says, you don't know the love of God if you start asking these questions. Now, I mean, he had seven pretty touching questions. One, if God loves me, why do I hurt so much? Have you ever thought about that? If God loves me, why do I hurt so much? And then, why isn't my marriage working? You know, if God's love is in the marriage, it ought to be working, right? Okay? And certainly, we need to remember that. Why can't I get lasting victory over sin? Does God want us to be groveling in the grime and the pits? No, he wants us to know his love. And then another, he says, if God loves me, why did he let mom die? Have you ever thought about that when your loved ones go to be with the Lord or perish? Certainly, the answer to that is that he who spared not his own son, what? But freely gave him to us in his love. Certainly, why do I have cancer? Why does God allow us to be sick? Sometimes it's God's loving hand that allows us to be sick to draw us closer to him so that we will look upward. We could say with some, thankfully that's not my wife and I's case tonight, but I do know that there are those that would ask this question, and where is God's love in this? But why don't I have a spouse? But does God love single people as much as he loves married people? Absolutely. If God loves me, why can't I pay my bills? Does his love sometimes teach us that we can depend upon him instead of just ourselves? It is interesting that no attribute of God is more evident in Scripture, Jim Berg says, than his love, yet no attribute of God is doubted as quickly when life is challenging. We tend to get in trouble at the top of that diagram when we fail to believe truly in God's love for us. Certainly, contentment comes from seeing the power of God's love for you as a believer. I copied from Jim Berg's book, God is More Than Enough, and I put it in the back of my Bible just so that when I ever get to that doubting on belief stage, I can go back here. When we talk about God's goodness, some of you probably don't remember a year ago some of these messages. My wife says sometimes we don't remember by Sunday evening, Sunday morning. Okay, that happens. But just so when my memory fails about these things and I begin to have some unbelief about God's love, I put back in here in the back of my Bible the knowledge of God. And when we talked in our sermons about a year ago, we were talking about God's goodness. Do you remember the three characteristics, the three attributes of God's character in goodness? The first one is holiness. The second one is truth. And the last one is, what's the theme tonight? Love. Okay? That is God's goodness to us. And Jim Berg said something that our beloved Dr. Ron Brooks used to say to us as missionaries again and again, and this is something we've got to remember if we're going to know that God loves us. God is good always, all the time. Can we say that together tonight? God is good always, all the time. Okay. And he lists five reasons why that is true. He says he will always meet my genuine needs, always. He will always forgive my sin, always. He will always he's always up to something good in my life, always. He will always love me personally, always. He will always give me the grace I need, always. Okay? And then Jim Berg goes on about the knowledge of God. God is always great, always as well. He's always in control of all things, always. He's always present with me, always. He is always the same, always. He is always trustworthy, always. He is always wise in what he does, always. God is truly great. His love is powerful, folks. And so we know that God is good, God is great, but we also know some things about his love tonight that I want to talk about on the power side of his love. And the first one is that God's love has power to save. He is the power of our God's love saves us. John 3:16, for God what? So loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I have my Bible open to Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. You've heard this story before, but I'm going to repeat it. When our daughter Joy was sick, there was a Russian atheist Jew who had a little boy who had developed leukemia, and she could not get help for her son, and it became too late, and she finally brought him to the University of Minnesota when she made it through all of the hoops with bureaucracy and so on. And she was a very keen observer of other parents. And one night, she saw us praying with our daughter. And we were confronted, as we left our daughter's room, with Amalia's question. She said, how can you pray to a God who allows this to happen to your Joy and my Freddy? And just the Sunday before, Dr. Douglas McLaughlin, our pastor, had been preaching. And he preached on Abraham offering up Isaac on an altar. And then he came to the conclusion of his message, and this is how we know that God loves us. When trials like that come into our lives. And in Romans chapter 8 and verse 32, it says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And one of them is salvation, folks. There is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Certainly, we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is the one that stands between us and a holy God, and that we are clothed in his righteousness. Because he spared not his only son. And even when he takes your child, he says, I love you. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You heard about that this morning. Certainly, we know that God's love had enough power to send Jesus Christ that we might be saved. Well, I believe there is a second thing, and that is the power of God's love to stabilize in our life. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 35, it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than what? Conquerors through him that what? Loved us. Folks, when difficulties come, we better have a secure faith in the power of God's love. Amen? Going back to what we talked about in God's goodness, there's holiness, but the transitive side of that holiness is that God gives us his righteousness. In truth, the transitive side of that attribute is God's faithfulness. What a wonderful thing that is. When everything else is falling apart, God is still faithful. And God's love, the transitive side of that God's love in our lives today is his grace and his mercy. Certainly, Scripture packs up God's love through his goodness. And if we turn on our Bibles back to Psalm 145 and verse 9, Psalm 145, verse 9, the Bible says there, the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Oh, to think of his goodness and his mercy that is transitive out of his love. Then you can turn to Psalm 107, just a few pages back, and you find a repeating chorus from verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord for his good, for his what? His mercy endureth forever. It says that in verse 1, verse 8, verse 15, verse 21, verse 31. And then you get to the end of Psalm 107 and it says, whoso is wise will observe these things, even they shall understand what? The loving kindness of God. Certainly, I believe another stabilizing aspect of the power of God is found in Ephesians chapter 3. We're going through Ephesians. I don't know how many of you can remember back a few months. I was looking in my notes, and it was actually back in May of 20 that when we were just getting back in church that we went through this passage. And in Ephesians chapter 3, in verses 17, 18, and 19, it says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in what, folks? Love, okay? May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. the breadth of God's love. He can love the sinner and the saint. I tell you what, that just about covers everybody, doesn't it? That's the breadth of God's love. The length of God's love. How long does God love? He loves with an everlasting love. It is endless in duration. The depth of God's love. It condescends. It comes to us in our lowest estate. When we were sinners, Christ loved us enough to die for us. He condescended. He came out of heaven and he came into our hearts. In his grace and in his mercy. And folks, his love condescends to the believer in the lowest valley. He is there. He goes with us. And the heights of his love, higher than the heavens, his love passes knowledge. And the riches of Christ's love can be known and grasped alone by faith. And that God's love is available to us at all times. I trust you, as Paul was praying for the Ephesians, that you pray for one another, that the power of God's love will nourish your soul and stabilize your soul in the midst of trials. And for one another in this church. Lynette Steinbart. We had a little Valentine call with our daughters this afternoon. And as you know, Annalise is a good friend of Lynette's. And my wife said, how did the trip go for Lynette and her family? Does anybody know the Steinbart's youngest baby's name? They have two H's for the girls and two J's for the boys. Okay? And the youngest, the baby's name is Havilah. Havilah got on a plane in Chicago that flew to London with her mom. And the baby, who is so young, has a narrow ear canal, and she cried all the way to London. But she was held in her mom's arms in love. Isn't it good to know that God holds us tight in his hands and shows his love to us? Do you ever need a spiritual hug? This is the way to get it. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. But there is also the power not only to save and to stabilize, but the power to secure. Nothing in Romans chapter 8, again, in verses 38 and 39, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Folks, nothing's going to separate us from God. We're perfectly secure in his hands. George Matheson wrote the great old hymn, O Love That Will Not Let Me Go. I've been humming that sometimes at night. O Love That Will Not Let Me Go, I rest my weary soul in thee. I give back to thee back my life that I owe, the life that I owe. That in ocean depths its flow may richer, fuller be. O joy that seekest me through pain, I cannot close my heart to thee. I trace the rainbow through the rain. and feel the promise is not in vain, that morn shall be tearless. O faith that quickened me in death, I owe my inward life to thee. By thee, God's Son is mine indeed, and has supplied my every need by the blood of Calvary. That's where it comes from the love of God. Do you know the story behind that? George Matheson, he was engaged. He was about to be married, and he found out that he had a troubling eye disease that was taking his sight, and he was going to be a blind man, the doctor told him, the rest of his life. He thought it only appropriate and honest to tell his fiancée what was going to happen to him. And as he did, his fiancée turned from him and said, "Oh, I could not live with a husband who is blind," and left George Matheson. And so George Matheson would write this song, "O Love That Will Not Let Me Go." Certainly, the power of God's love keeps us secure, but also it enables us to serve. I want us to turn to Jennifer and my verse that we took to Holland. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." That word constrain is a very interesting word in the original language. It has the idea of holding things together. We saw that same idea. It's that which, as it were, a conductor over a symphony. He holds them together. And God says the love of Christ is going to be what is going to constrain us to go with the message of Christ and to serve him. And it takes love to go to a people who constantly reject it time and time and time and time and time again. And if we do not have that love that constrains us, we will give up in serving God. And I have seen so many say, "I'm tired. I can't do this anymore. I don't see any response. There's nobody that loves back." Folks, God loves us and God loves them. And we need to keep loving through the love of Christ, not just love for ourselves, but love for Christ. I brought along a little book called Calvary's Cross tonight. Back in the days of the gold rush, there was a lady, and her name was Mrs. J.K. Barney. Mrs. J.K. Barney went out to the gold rush area with her family, and she had prayed that God would send her to the Pacific Islands to be a missionary, and it did not happen, but God took her to the Gold Coast of the Pacific side of America. The gold rush was on, and she finally came to the conclusion that God had put her there in the midst of the gold rush to be a missionary to miners. She had a little family, and she prayed that God would some way use her. And one day she heard about a miner that lived in a mud room, was dying of consumption, and she begged some others to go and to visit this man, but none would go. He was dying of consumption. And so Mrs. Barney was so convicted that no one would go, she said, I must go. And I must go and take the love of Christ to this dying miner. And so she went. She stood in the opening of that mud hut and walked in and spoke gently, and the miner began to curse her. She did her best to try and open up a conversation, but there was no conversation. She did this for day after day after day. One day, she was knowing that this miner was getting close and near death. And she was so moved that she said, Oh God, help us to get the message to him. He will not open up to my approaches in love for him. And as she was leaving to go up into the hills to this mud hut, her neighbor said, You can't go alone. I'm going with you, and I'm bringing my little girl, Mamie. The neighbor girl and her mother went with Mrs. Barney up to that mud hut. And once again, Mrs. Barney tried to talk about Jesus, but only received curses. And then, so sweetly, this little girl, Mamie, began to sing about her Jesus. And the miner's heart heard the joy of a little girl singing. And immediately, there was no cursing. And he says, I want to see that little girl. Mrs. Barney went out and said, Could you ask Mamie to come up and to come in and hold the miner's hand? And the little girl took her little hand and put it in the miner's hand. His heart was tender. And in that tender moment, he began to tell the sad story about his little girl, Mamie, who had died, and how that it had made him so hard towards God. And this little girl, Mrs. Barney said to her, Will you pray for this miner? And the little girl said, Dear Jesus, this man is sick. He has lost his little girl, and he feels bad about it. And I'm so sorry for him, and he's sorry too. Won't you help him and show him where to find his little girl? Do please. Amen. The miner looked at Mrs. Barney, and he said, You keep talking about how that you can talk to somebody that's out there beyond where we live. And how do you do that? He was referring to Mrs. Barney's prayers for him. She says, Well, tell him more about it and tell him everything. And the old miner he began to pray for the first time. And he opened his heart in a torrent of confession. And he came to Jesus. Well, he talked about Jesus as the man who died for me. As a dying man, he said that. Well, Mrs. Barney was so thankful for that. And some days after, she said, I saw that the end was near as I left him. And I said, what shall I say tonight, Jack? Jack said, just good night. And when we meet again, I'll say good morning up there. Certainly, Mrs. Barney wanted to be a missionary, but it only was when God's love reached the miner's heart that God fulfilled the calling that she had been given by him to go and be a missionary to miners. May we fulfill our calling and go in the power of God's love. Father, we thank you for the message of your word. But oh, Father, how we thank you for the power of your love for us. We thank you for your Son, who loved us enough to die for us. And we thank you that you can break the hardest of hearts and soften them so that they can receive the message. Thank you for that old miner in the days of the gold rush who opened his heart to you because of some that went to love him. May we love others as you've loved us. In Jesus' name, amen.